Well, we're finishing up the series titled God's Word Is. And I'll say it one more time as your pastor. God's Word is all that we need. It will give you everything you need now as you live this life and the next one. Part one, we looked at the Word of God. It reveals God. So my questions that I've been asking the last several weeks is, what is your view of God? Is he far away? Is he distant? Is he uncaring? Is he critical? Is he judgmental? So your answer to that question will reveal what's below the surface in your heart and your life. And what I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life. So we search for God through his written word, the Word of God. Part two, we looked at God's word is revelation, right? Revelation, to show us something we didn't see before. You ever read something and like, I didn't see that. And God just helped you understand it. The Bible is revelation from God, of God, by God. What I do with God's revelation will either keep me in the dark, the blindfold, or it will open my eyes. God's revelation unveils the truth so we can know him. God wants you to know him. He wants us to know him. Part three, we looked at God's word is inspiration. Inspiration is the action of God through human authors who used their own personality, their own vocabulary, their own writing style, but they were guided by the Holy Spirit. It's unthinkable that God would give us his book if we couldn't trust it. He wants us to trust him. If all scripture is inspired by God, then it's useful to teach us to know him, to know what is right, what is wrong, how to get right, how to stay right. And as your pastor, I challenged us to commit to three things. Do you remember what they were? Commit to Sunday mornings. Commit to a small group, if possible, a Bible study. Commit to serving somewhere in the church, outside the church. Part four, we looked at God's word is the source. It's the record of truth. Scripture is the word of God in that it's truthful. It has authority and it's effective. And it will accomplish the desired effects that God desires. The ultimate goal of Scripture is not to gain all the head knowledge and you can answer all the questions, you know all the stories, but it's to change lives. That's the ultimate goal of the Word of God, the source. Part five, last week, we looked at God's word is illumination. We need help from God to illuminate, to help us understand the truth that we find in Scripture. The Holy Spirit, our teacher, will guide us into all truth. God's word, you know it, is a lamp to guide our feet and a light for our path. In good times or tough times, God's word is his gift to show us the way that we should walk and the path that we should follow. He's being gracious to us by showing us the path. You can trust God. You can trust his book. And God will illuminate the word so you and I can understand and be changed, we sang it earlier, from the inside out. Oftentimes we want to change the outside in, but it's the inside out. God, change my heart. Change my life. Let your word speak to me. Sometimes when I look into a mirror, it's not an accurate reflection of myself. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, it's not an accurate reflection of myself. Growing up in Utah, we had an amusement park called Lagoon. We had the roller coasters, the rides, you know, the carnival games, the food and more, right? Typical amusement park. I remember one of the attractions was called the Fun House. It's a maze of distorted reality, of twirling tunnels and that made you walk funny and lose your balance, to moving floors that kept you off balance, and the maze of mirrors where you couldn't find your way out, and then those wacky mirrors and so much more in this fun house. Does anyone remember the fun houses and those weird times? Okay. I remember standing in front of the funhouse mirrors, and it kind of looked like this, right? And your super long legs, that's not me, but super long legs with a short body, or a super long body with short legs, or really wide with a small head, or just the opposite, a really big head with a small body. Hilarious, right? You're like, funny, look at you. All right. It's me in front of the mirrors, but the wacky mirrors are warped, right? Now we have apps on our phones for that distort our reality. Here's a couple of pics of me. I was goth one day, and then I grew a beard. So the same day. And I had more hair. Yeah. Anyway. What if somebody rigged my phone so that every time I looked at a selfie of myself, it was a warped picture of myself, of me. And I just assume that's what I look like. That's what other people see when they look at me. If I had all in my house, all the types of warped mirrors in my house, I would walk out the door thinking, that's what I look like. Ooh, you know, this weird image. And I'd walk out thinking, this is what I look like, right? But what I need is a true, accurate mirror that never changes, so I know exactly what I look like every time. I think we've all looked in the mirror and not seen an accurate reflection of ourselves. And sadly, some of us see ourselves as if we're viewing ourselves in a funhouse mirror. We see a distorted or warped or twisted or altered or an inaccurate image. When we look in the mirror symbolically, right? Sometimes what we see is a failure, a nobody, a screw up, someone who's alone, someone who's unloved, someone who's unwanted. And we see someone who is lost or addicted or even damaged. And we walk out the door of our lives believing what we see in us. We go to school, we go to work, we go to church even, and we believe a distorted view of ourselves. When we're with our families and friends and loved ones, we believe what they are seeing is a warped version of us. And so to cope with those beliefs, we often hide behind a mask of happiness, a mask of I've got it all together, a mask of humility even, or some kind of mask to hide what we think is our hideous self. And it's as if we're seeing ourselves in a funhouse mirror, only it's not very funny. I want to conclude this series, God's Word Is, where we started. We started out with God, and we're ending with humanity. You and me. Bookends to this series. This is God and this is us. And what does God and His Word say about who we are? The title of my message this morning is God's Word is a Mirror. God's Word is a Mirror. See, where God's Word is the Word of God revealing God to us, and where God's Word is revelation unveiling the truth, and where God's Word is inspiration in communicating the truth, and where God's Word is the source, the record of truth, and where God's Word is illumination, understanding the truth, God's Word is a mirror that tells the truth of who we are. God's Word is a mirror that tells the truth of who we really are. You see, what we see or believe about ourselves, good or bad, it only truly matters how God sees and believes about who we are. Let me say that again. What we see or believe about ourselves, whether good things or bad things, it only truly matters how God sees and believes about who we are. Do we believe that this morning? What's the truth about humanity? Well, it all started back when God created the world and it was good. Then the first humans sinned against God, and now we are all born with a sin nature. Then all of humanity was filled with sin, and God destroyed the earth by sending a flood, saving only Noah, his family, and the animals. God's own people lived in a vicious cycle of serving the Lord, then rebelling against the Lord, then crying out to the Lord to save them. So God sent judges, God sent prophets, God sent kings to govern his people so his people would turn from their sin and follow after Yahweh. Then God went silent for 400 years. I can't imagine that until Jesus was born. What's the relationship of the Bible to salvation? So to begin with, the Bible reveals our need for salvation. It's a mirror that shows us how filthy we are in God's sight. God declares in Jeremiah chapter 17 that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. You see, we don't like to hear this, but deep down we know it's true. We know it's true. Imagine a device, if it was invented and everyone can see what's in your heart and what's in your mind, and it's displayed on these TVs for everyone to see. Yikes. We wouldn't like that very much. But God sees right into our hearts, the motives, the desires, the sin that lurks in there. Nothing that we say or do is hidden from him. We know the truth of who we are. We have this in common, don't we? We're sinful people. We sin. We fall short of God's glory. Our world is broken because of sin. Our world is broken because you or I are in that world and we have sinned. The Apostle John reminds us in his first letter, says this, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." The world, the enemy, our own hearts, it only offers counterfeits, never the real thing. And these sinful desires come from within. You don't have to teach a baby to say no. They pick up on it and they're pretty. The Apostle Paul further reminds us that we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. In Romans chapter 12, "Do not think that you are better than you really are. Instead, think about yourself carefully. Decide how much God has helped you to trust him. Then you will know how to serve him well." In other words, have the correct and humble view of ourselves. So as we look in the mirror and see our sinfulness, it's true. It's true. But that's not when we walk out the door. Okay, I'm a bad, horrible person. I'm unworthy of any kind of love or any kind of forgiveness. And we walk out the door and we live our life that way. That's not when we do that. When we see and believe ourselves to be broken, beyond repair, discouraged, floundering, confused, and wandering, it's the mirror of God's word that reveals the truth of who we are. When God sees us, when God looks upon us, he sees us accurately. He sees us correctly, totally loved, valued, and cherished. We are his beloved. God sees you and I through the lens of his only son, Jesus, who died in our place and whose shed blood washes away our sins. We just celebrated communion, remembering what Jesus did for us. John 3:16, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life." So that's the truth this morning, is that God loves this world. God loves its people. He loves you and me. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross. In a few weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to celebrate Good Friday and then Easter. So start praying about who to invite. A little commercial there. Bring people with you. But we celebrate that. God's word is a mirror that tells us the truth about ourselves. So we change, we repent, and God tells us who we are in him. The mirror of God's word shows us accurately who we really are, that we need a Savior to save us from our sins. And as we look at Scripture, as we open the Bible, as we study what God says, we begin to see that. We begin to see who we really are. Even in the broken and the mess that we really are, God shows us who he's made us to be. The closer we get to Jesus, the more who we were really created to be is revealed. Can I say that again? The closer we get to Jesus, the more who we really were created to be is revealed. We become our true selves because we're letting go of pride. We're letting go of this habit, this addiction, this sin, and we're getting closer to Jesus and holiness and righteousness, and we're becoming who we really were created to be. So what do we do? What do we do? Because God's word is a mirror, it tells you the truth of who you really are. You see, there are a lot of fakes and knockoffs and imitations, things that are forged and bogus and phony copies that all look like the real thing, but they aren't. This is genuine imitation. Wait a second, that doesn't sound right. Truths and ideals and principles that seem true but weren't. And maybe you've been duped, or maybe you've been conned by some of them before. Federal agents, as you know, identify counterfeit money quickly by studying real currency so they can spot a fake when they see it. They don't study the fakes because there's so many of those. They study the real thing, and so when a fake comes across, they know it. The Apostle Paul, again, I talk about him a lot, but the Apostle Paul reminds young Pastor Timothy to deal with false teaching by teaching the true meaning of Scripture so that the Ephesians Christians would be equipped to understand it and to identify heresy when they heard it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says this, "Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The word study there means to be diligent, to be zealous. Be diligent, be thorough in your work so that you're not ashamed, you're not embarrassed of your work when it's inspected. The words rightly dividing means cutting straight, to proceed in a straight path, to teach the truth directly and correctly. The Living Bible says it this way, "Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. Know what his word says and means." See, this is a holy responsibility as your pastors to preach the word. This is not, this does not only apply to pastors and to those who teach God's word and to other Christians, but it applies to you as well. You are called to know what God's word says and means. Knowing what Scripture means isn't just for information, but for a heart transformation. That's the end goal. Knowing about Scripture is not just about information, but a heart transformation. It's meant to change your heart and mind. So what does God's word do in you? Paul goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for what? To teach us what is true." There's the standard. There's that straight line. We got to come back to that. To make us realize what is wrong in our lives. That's what the Word of God does. It taps us on the shoulder and says, "Look, you're off track." It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. So it doesn't just point out what we're doing wrong. It tells you how to get back on the path. God's word teaches, it rebukes, it corrects, it trains. And since the Bible is God-breathed, the key is that you follow and allow the Holy Spirit to use Scripture to shape you. The prophet Isaiah talks about being the potter and that you are the clay formed in the very hands of God. If you ever seen a video of someone making a pot, their hands are wet and they're molding that into something useful and amazing. And we don't like that, do we sometimes? We want to do it ourselves. We want to create our own future and whatever. It's hard to let go and let God. I recently read this. It says this: what's unique about the Bible is that you don't just read it, it reads you. It's a mirror that reveals who you are and who you can become in Christ. You don't just read it, it reads you. It's a mirror that reveals who you are and who you can become in Christ. The mirror of God's word is to show you not just who you are in Christ and what needs to change in your life, but also who you can become in Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, in his own letter said this in James chapter 1, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Verse 21, "So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls." Verse 22, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." James talks about being slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to get angry and to get rid of the evil in our lives. But he says to not only listen to God's word, but to do what it says. If you don't do that, you're just fooling yourselves. You're not really fooling anyone else either. Then James says this: listening to the word and not obeying is like looking at a mirror. You walk out the door and you forget what you look like. Did you match? Is your hair combed? You know, you just forget everything. And it's like when we were teenagers, in one ear and out the other. "Are you listening to me?" "Yeah." "What did I just say?" "I don't know." I've been there. I know that. But if you study God's word and obey what it says, God will bless your life. I know that's hard. It's hard for me. I don't want to forgive sometimes. I want to hold on to bitterness. I want to hold on to resentment. Like you, we have justifications for everything in our life. What does God's word say? I got to come back to that. I love what it says. This is a devotional, Andrew Murray, called "Obey the Word of God." Bread is indispensable to life. We all understand this. However strong a person may be, if he takes no nourishment, he will grow weaker and eventually die. Even so with the word of God. Bread must be eaten. I may know all about bread. I may give it to others. I may have bread in my house and on my table in great abundance, but that will not help me. I must eat the bread. If through illness I'm unable to eat it, I shall die. Likewise, mere knowledge of God's word, even preaching it to others, will not help me. It is not enough to think about it. I must feed on God's word and take it into my heart and life. Bread must be eaten daily. And the same is true of God's word. The psalmist says, "They delight in doing everything the Lord wants. Day and night they think about his law." Psalm 1, verse 2. Oh, how I love your law. I think about it all day long. Psalm 119, 97. To secure a strong and powerful spiritual life, spending time in God's word every day is indispensable. When on earth, the Lord Jesus learned, loved, and obeyed the word of the Father. If you seek fellowship with him, you will find him in his word. Bread must be eaten. I've got 15 Bibles on my bookshelf and plenty more on my phone. It's not enough. I've got to eat the word of God. God's word is a mirror. It tells us the truth of who we are. God's word reveals God. It unveils the truth. It communicates the truth. It's the record of truth. It helps us understand the truth. And God's word is a mirror that tells us the truth of who we are. But it's also a mirror that tells us the truth of whose we are. When you hold up the mirror of God's word, I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. Yes, we're sinful. Yes, we're broken. But when you hold the mirror of God's word up in front of your life, I want you to see what God sees. That you are loved and redeemed and forgiven and righteous and healed, more than a conqueror, cared for, one of his kids, co-heirs with Christ, blessed, worth dying for, purchased by the blood of Jesus, provided for, prayed over, listened to, strengthened, secure, favored, comforted, protected, beloved, and so much more. That's who we are when God sees us. Some may see the Bible as a joy kill. It's a bunch of rules. It's gloomy. It's a downer, right? It's a wet blanket. It's just this good book. It's untouchable. I can't understand it. But the Bible has a plan for our salvation. It's not enough just to believe this is a holy, good book. You must believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, the payment for sin is death. But God gives us the free gift of life forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you made that decision? Will you make that decision to surrender your life today? On your way out this morning, I have a small mirror that we're going to give you. And on it, it says, God's word is a mirror. God's word is me? Nope. You? Nope. This church? Nope. God's word is a mirror. And when you open God's word up, you see yourself for who you really are. Set it on your dresser, next to your other mirror, on your fridge, in your car, as a reminder of who you are in God's eyes. In fact, I think these mirrors might have a sticky, you could peel off and stick it. But it's just a way to remind yourself. The world tells you you're bad, you're sinful. Yeah, you're right. But what does God's word say? What does God's word say of who I am? Author and pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle, Jim Cimbala, says this: when we read the Bible with a sincere desire to hear God and take his truth to heart by faith, we will receive favor from him. So today's final thought: see yourself the way God sees you. The mirror of God's word will help you do that.